Church, in our lesson this morning, we're going to look at the way God cares for his people and the way God teaches his people. What happens when God blesses his people? What do we do? You've asked for it. God has blessed you with it. What do we do when God blesses us? I want to look at our response to God's blessings. Our response to God's blessings, our response to his security and blessings is a critical component of walking by faith. How we respond demonstrates our real, true relationship with the God of heaven. Chapter 11 of Second Chronicles begins by looking at the reign of by looking at the reign of Rehoboam, the king of the southern nation called Judah. The kingdom has church divided, and Jeroboam, no relation to Rehoboam, is ruling over the northern nation called Israel. In 2 Chronicles chapter 10, verses 16 and 19, the Bible has described the actions of Jeroboam and Israel as rebellion against God's king and the promises to David. Rehoboam believes that he needs to go to war with Jeroboam and the northern nation to reunite Israel. Church, in 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 1, let's look at the security of disobedience. We see Rehoboam gathering his armies to prepare for battle to restore the kingdom. But God, in verse 4, sends a prophet to Rehoboam, telling him not to go to war against his own people because this division is from God. Rehoboam listens and he does not go to war against Jeroboam. Brother Scott, there is a prophetic foreshadowing that God is using here regarding how God is going to restore Israel. Church, the restoration of Israel is not going to be through war. Can I tell us something? God does not need humans to fight to be able to accomplish his purpose. God has a purpose in mind that has nothing to do with fighting in terms of the restoration of Israel. God is going to restore Israel not with fighting. God is going to send the Christ, Jesus, and he's going to restore Israel without fighting. Now, you might remember Jesus making this very point to Pilate when Jesus was on trial. Jesus said in John 18:36, that his kingdom was not of this world. Church, if his kingdom was of this world, then his servants would be fighting. The kingship of Jesus and restoration of all things would not be through physical warfare. This listening to the word from the Lord, church, is the foundation of chapter 11. God is going to make Rehoboam and his kingdom strong. In verses 5 through 10, Heartland, we see a list of cities that God fortifies. In verse 11, we see the cities that are also strengthened with food, drink, and supplies. In verse 12, we see these cities are also made strong militarily. In verses 13 and 14, we read that these cities are strengthened spiritually. The priests and the Levites, who were the spiritual teachers, and they worked for the Lord, leave their homes and lands, and they come to Judah and Jerusalem. What a cost these priests and Levites paid to seek the Lord and worship the Lord properly. Jeroboam's failure in the northern kingdom is noted in verse 15. Jeroboam refused to let the true priest and the Levites serve in the land. Watch what he does. He appointed his own priest for their idolatrous and false worship. But listen to the words of verse 16. And those who had set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel came after them from all the tribes of Israel to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord, the God of their fathers. Church, notice the result in verse 17. They are strengthening the kingdom of Judah, and they made Rehoboam secure. Why? Because they walked in the ways of David and Solomon for 3 years, obeying the God of heaven. Church, what God wants us to see is the security and blessings that come from listening to him. The true people of God, listen, leave the false worship and the false ways of Jeroboam, giving up their lands, even their possessions, to come to the true king. They set their hearts to seek the Lord. They supported the kingdom. They walked in the ways of David and Solomon. Church, listen. God strengthens and blesses the nation so that they are secure. Why, Brother Red? Because of their obedience. Now, Heartland, please do not miss the importance of what God is teaching his people. His rules, his ways, his direction, and his teachings, listen, are for your good in this life. Security in life, Sister Jameson, comes from following what God has told us to do. Family relations are secured when we obey what God has told us to do as husbands and wives and fathers and mothers. We can have security in life, church, when we follow God's directions as employees and employers. We can have security in life when we listen to God and how we act and speak towards each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Heartland, sometimes we can wonder why life is not going according to plan, and we have all kinds of problems. Sometimes the insecurity of life comes from the fact, listen, that we did not choose to listen to what God has prescribed for us, his people, through his word. This is exactly the transition we see at the end of 2 Chronicles chapter 11 and in 2 Chronicles chapter 12. We see Rehoboam following in his father's footsteps by having many wives. But church, notice the turn that happens to Rehoboam and his secure kingdom. See, he's doing fine because he's listening to God. But notice the turn that happens in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 1. Listen to the words of the Bible. When the rule of Rehoboam was established and he was strong, what did he do when he was being blessed? He abandoned the law of the Lord and all of Israel with him. Well, church, what happened? When things were going well, the king left the Lord But notice what else happened. The security and prosperity that the people were experiencing also caused them to abandon the law of the Lord. Now, here's the shocking problem, church, that I want us to think about. God's blessings, listen, God's blessings lead to the people's unfaithfulness. See, God's given you all you want and you need. Doing well, secure in how you're living. And then you forget about God. In their prosperity, rather than praising God and thanking God for the blessings, they turn. Can I tell us something? It's God who makes us strong. Then we move away from God and our strength and our security. God knew that this would be a problem. When he cares for us and blesses us, God knew it's going to be a problem. We're not the first generation who's doing this. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 14, listen to the warning that God gave to the people of Israel as they were about to go into the promised land. Now, they've been in the wilderness 40 years. God promised them this, and he's getting ready to bless them. But he's got some encouragement and warnings for them. He says, listen, he says, here's what I want you to do in Deuteronomy 8, verses 11 through 14. Watch this, church. You're getting ready to go on your way. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. And doing what, God? By failing to keep his promises. Now he's getting ready to bless them. Can I tell you something? Keep this in your thinking. Whenever God blesses you, be careful. Don't forget to obey God. Don't forget to obey and to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. What's going to happen? If you forget God, what's going to happen, Heartland, if we forget his word? Otherwise, you eat and you're satisfied and you build good houses and you live in them. And when your herds and your flocks increase and your silver and gold increase and everything that you have increases, then your heart will become proud. And you'll forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Heartland, listen. I'm warning us. God has been good to all of us. Notice that God said he would bless them. Their prosperity would increase. And they would eat and be satisfied. Then in Deuteronomy 8, verses 17 and 18, God warns them that this would tempt them to be proud and forget the Lord who cares for you. So God said, here is what you need to never forget. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to you, to your fathers, as it is this day. Church, the tendency, Brother Scott, that we still have today, our response to God's blessings is, Lord, thank you. Look what I did. I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. God says, no, I did this. You didn't do this. Don't get it twisted. I did this. God tells them to not think that anything is because of you. Heartland, don't you get it in your mind because God is blessing you that it's because you're so wonderful? Why, Brother Red? Because it's our God. Listen, our God gave you the power to get that wealth. James, in James 1:17, made the same point that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father above. Church, I just want to remind us, and I want us to continue to keep this in our head in 2026. Whatever God did for you, Sister Elise, don't you think you did it on your own? I listened to you guys talking about your opportunity for a new job. And I listen, we prayed for you. We continue to pray for you. God bless you. And don't you go there talking about, look what I did. Because the Lord giveth and the Lord can take away. We need to watch our responses to the blessings that God provides for us. Humble ourselves. Keep our hearts set in doing the will of God. Because when you disobey, listen, Brother Scott, all the security that you had when you were being obedient, following God, that security disappears when you're disobedient. Brother Ed, are you sure? I'm sure that's what the Bible teaches. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Since Rehoboam and the people abandoned the law of the Lord in the fifth year, watch what happened. God, the same God that blessed them, brought Shishak, the king of Egypt, against Jerusalem and captured many fortified cities. Church, the reason is, listen, is because they've been unfaithful to God. Now, I want us to think about what happens in these circumstances when the bad times come after prosperity. You know what we want to do, Brother Theron? We want to blame God for leaving us. But our God has an answer to this, because it appears that this is what Rehoboam was thinking. Look at verse 5. He says, you have abandoned me. That's what he's being told. So you have abandoned me. So I have abandoned you to the hand of Shishak. God said, no. You abandoned me. So I have abandoned you to the hand of Shishak. Church, God has a very simple answer. You left me. You forgot me. You abandoned me. You stopped following me. Heartland, this is important. And it's a point that I want to emphasize. See, when God gives you peace, I just want y'all to hear this. When God gives you peace, take the peace to become peaceable and serve him. When God gives you time, take the time to get involved in a meaningful work to God. When God gives you wealth, when God gives you a new job, don't take the wealth, the additional income that you have, and give nothing to the Lord. Church, God wants our response to be different oftentimes than what it is. Can I tell you something else, though? There is no point in the scriptures where God says that he abandoned us. while we were still with God. Church, the problem is always with us. We are the ones who leave our God. We are the ones who are unfaithful to our God. God, listen, never walks away first. We always walk away first. God then gives us over once we walk away. Listen to this carefully. Once we walk away, God then gives us over to our desire to abandon him. He takes away our security and moves us to insecurity after we leave God. I want to say that again. God never walks away first. We walk away first. God then gives us over to our desire, whatever that is that we replace with God, and he gives us that desire to abandon him. He takes away the security that we had while we were faithful and moves us to insecurity after we leave him. Have you ever been faithful to God and then you walked away from him and it just seems like all hell is breaking loose? Church, listen. Disobedience brings the insecurity. Shishak is taking everything away that God has given to him. Now, I want you to notice that the leaders of Israel and the king, they understand what's happening. They understand the message given to them that they have abandoned the Lord of the God of heaven. Look at verse 6. The leaders and the king, they themselves, the leaders and the king, they humble themselves before the Lord. And just notice, church, what they say. The Lord is righteous. Pardon me, they didn't say the Lord is terrible. They didn't say that the Lord is wrong. They understand that what the Lord has done is right. Church, when you're struggling and you're going through things, I promise you, you need to evaluate what happened with your relationship with God. God is always right. And I think sometimes, church, in our humbling ourselves, we'll come back to our God and we'll repent. And Brother Theron, we think that I've repented now. God will just pick up where he was blessing me like he was. And yo, can I tell you something? You can repent, humble yourself, and come back. But the consequences of what you did while you were away from the Lord is coming with you. They're coming with you. Notice what happens in 2 Chronicles chapter 12. Verses 7 through 16, with the leaders humbling themselves before the Lord, because it is a very important message for us today. In verse 7, God acknowledges their humility and repentance, and repentance rather. Church, first I want us to see that God would not destroy the nation completely for abandoning him. Instead, deliverance would come. Second, I want us to see that God did not wipe away all of the consequences for abandoning the law of the Lord. In verse 8, God says that they're going to serve Shishak. Why, Brother Ridge? So that they will learn the difference between serving the Lord and serving the kings of other nations. Church, if you think that serving the Lord is such a terrible burden, if you think that coming Sundays and Wednesdays and Tuesdays is such a terrible burden, then you see what it's like to serve sin. See what it's like when you turn and you have to serve your possession, or your passions rather, your desires and your vices that's hard to get away from. See what life is like when you are enslaved to someone else other than God. Then you will see the blessing of serving God. And you've messed up in your life and you've been away from God. And you know that you've been away from God and did some things that you had no business doing. And you get the opportunity to come back to God. Listen, all you ought to say is, Lord, thank you. But if you have to continue to serve the sin of addiction that maybe you encountered when you were away from God, it's a lot easier to serve God than it is to serve the sin of addiction. Church, I say to us in 2026 that we need to see the blessing of serving our God. We must see that we can humble ourselves, repent, and turn back to the Lord. But listen, this does not mean that all the consequences, Brother Scott, for our decisions are erased. We still must bear the consequences for my sins. We must still carry the burden of abandoning the Lord. Church, please notice that God says he's doing this so that we will learn and remember. We need to remember what happens when we walk away from God. We need to remember the pain and the guilt. We need to remember the shame and the suffering. Don't forget the trouble that comes, church, from abandoning the law of the God of heaven. And don't forget the insecurity that comes from leaving God and walking away. God gave Rehoboam a permanent reminder. In verse 9, we read that Shishak, the king of Egypt, took all the treasuries of the temple and the king's palace. Notice, church, the succinct and powerful words of verse 9. He took away everything. But God wants to highlight some symbolism for us. The gold shield Solomon made, they were captured. Rehoboam then made bronze shields to replace them. But whenever anyone would enter, he would have the guards to remove those shields, so that no one would see the fading glory and the tarnished kingdom. Church, listen to this good. Abandoning the Lord had taken a kingdom of gold and turned it into a kingdom of bronze. Rehoboam had done wrong, but he's not going to let anyone see the consequences of his actions. The cover-up is in place so that no one will know the disaster he caused from his sinning. We do this too. We put up a shiny veneer, rather, so that people will never know the disaster of our sinning. We'll fake out everyone from a distance. Then when people get close up, we'll move away, so no one can see what has happened. Church, listening in closing, there are many warnings that this scripture gives to us as important checkpoints for our hearts in 2026. First, do not allow our security in life to abandon the law of the Lord. Don't do that. Don't take what God has given you and allow it to cause you not to hear what God say and to do what God teaches in his word. Second, when we become insecure in life, I said this a bit early, but let me drive it a little further. When we become insecure in life, consider this. You probably want to consider, if we abandon the Lord did not leave you first. He didn't leave you. And you want to evaluate what I did to get out of the relationship with the Lord that I need to be in. God didn't leave Brother Red first. Third, do not be satisfied with appearances. When truly humbling our hearts is necessary for complete restoration to God. Don't try to fake it. It happened. Repent, get involved with a meaningful work, and don't let anybody make you feel bad about your past. Keep it moving. God loved you before and he'll love you again. But don't fake it. Because there's not a person on this call, if they're honest, that have not done some things that they wish they hadn't done. Somebody said, well, Brother Rick, what about so-and-so? What are y'all going to accept the heart and people who need God? That's all of us. Finally, listen. Even when we humble ourselves and turn back to the Lord, the consequences for our decisions, listen, will remain as a reminder that serving God is better than serving anyone or anything else. And you just talk to a person who's past 40 and they'll tell you, I went through this, I went through that, but it was through that trouble that I learned to trust God. Serving God is the reminder, and it's better than serving anybody else or anything else. Church, our response in 2026 is as God blesses us, stay steadfast, continue to walk in the ways of the Lord, and don't let anybody turn you around. You keep plowing. Get up. Satan's going to show up, so I need to show up. If we will just hold on to God's hand, God will bless us. But our response has to be to God's blessings. Sister Brown, that God, you blessed me. Yes, I've messed up some things, and they remind me that I need to serve you better. But I'm going to get up and I'm going to put on my spiritual shoes and clothes and I'm going to keep on plowing. And don't you let nobody turn you around. I hope I've said some things this morning that challenged you. My intent, Sister Katrina Stevens, was to also leave you a bit encouraged. We can make it. See, when you know better, you do better. You do better. Never get comfortable serving God. If you want to be comfortable, get comfortable being uncomfortable in that I'm not doing enough. But you're going to find that when I am disobedient, insecurity shows up in my life. The security comes and obeying and serving God, when that's our response, that's when the security comes. I hope this morning, as we have heard the message, that we would set our hearts this year on doing the things that we know that we should do and let our response to God's blessing be pleasing to God. If you're here this morning and you've never named the name of Jesus, The Bible teaches that if you've never been baptized, the Bible says that you need to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And God will add you to the church that's in the Bible. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, and you know that your response to God's blessings hadn't been quite right, you ask God to pray. If you ask God to forgive you, we'll pray for you, and He will forgive you. God says that if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive. We'll pray for you. He'll be a blessing to you, rather. Whatever your reason is that you might need to respond to God's invitation, we bid you to do so as we close out the preaching part of this morning's service.